Reese on the radio, making sense of the news. Yeah, even when it makes no sense at all. Now on WTIC News Talk 1080.
We are back and we are here. Okay, anyway. Yes, you are a good photographer, Roland. My phone, by the way, the reason why photos were coming out bad was because the cover on the phone had some, it was dirty. Okay, it was just dirty. Yeah, he said my phone is trash. Whatever you might think. Anyway, we got headlines coming up, but before we do, I want to go through a couple of comments in here. Craig said that Erin needed to move her mic up. I apologize. I'm sure she did come up closer a little bit. Lori Mass says, a great conversation with Erin. She gives me hope for reworking the DCF system to be more efficient and effective. Jason said exactly, Lori. Karen says, great interview. Glad you asked the tough questions. I appreciate that. When talking about affordability, Craig Nagar says, just got an oil delivery a half an hour ago, $680 for the winter month. What are you on? Are you all electric now? Are you all electric?
Yeah, finally, free of oil.
Really?
This is the first time since I've been living up here that I don't have to worry about oil.
But now, you with the filling up the tank, you only have to fill it up that once for the winter, is that right?
No.
Well, how many times do you have to fill it up? Twice?
Yes.
Okay, twice. Yeah, so that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's $1,200 a year. That's a lot of money.
And depend on, you know, some people like it extra hot, so they don't want to have to do like...
Who are those weirdos?
2.5 times. I kept mine on 70.
Really?
And then like most of the time 68.
Yeah, 68 seems fair.
But then, you know, when it's -5 degrees outside, I'll turn it up to like 72 for a little while and then turn it back down.
I did not recognize what my mother meant by put a sweater on. So I started paying for it.
Yeah.
I totally got it. It was like, put a sweater on.
Throw a hoodie on.
Yeah, that's what I'll get used to. Well, I don't have to worry about that because I'll be apartment living. Oh, by the way, I want to thank who's it? The older gentleman in the back who works in sales. Name begins with a G. I'm forgetting him right now.
Begins with a G?
Yeah, Garnett.
Garnett,
right?
Garnett, yeah.
Garnett. I got to give Garnett.
He's the boss.
Is he the boss?
He's one of the bosses. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Garnett. My apologies. The boss man, Garnett. He has already confirmed with me that our next public appearance with fans, sort of like a fan appreciation, he's already got the spot. I already know the spot because I've been there, and he has already guaranteed me that we're gonna get the spot. So, and that's gonna be coming up in January, it's like somewhere late January. So we got
Say nothing though.
I know I can't say anywhere. I'm not gonna say where it is. But we got between rounds coming up in January. We have a date for that. We just don't have a location, but we do have the January date. And then after that, we're going to do fan appreciation where the fans are going to come out and come hang out. And I will tell you where that is in due course. So stand by. Craig in the car says, hell no, not for the whole winter. He says that the $680 will get him through 40 days. Holy moly. 40 days? No, no, no.
I tried to tell you.
Hell.
I'm very thankful. I you know what's crazy? I have, what do you call it, PTSD?
Yeah.
Because, and I probably shouldn't equate that to that because people have real...
Yeah, yeah, sure. But I have post-traumatic stress from having to pay for oil.
Yeah, and because then I'm checking my new place, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to order oil. I'm like, oh. So then I'm getting paranoid about having to order oil. Uh-huh. Not realizing that I don't have to anymore.
Wow.
So it's like a
little. But that still doesn't change the fact that your electric rate is going to be through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, but
the comparable charge is going to be different.
Yeah, it's going to be different.
Yeah, I would imagine.
We have a lower rate too, so
yeah.
We have kind of like a fixed in rate where
okay.
we have
now. Well, that's good then. Well, yeah. I hope I never have to deal with that again.
Yeah. It's a pain, and then you got to get it serviced every every 6 months or whatever it is that they come in and service it, and that costs you some more hundreds of dollars.
I can imagine.
So yeah it's madness.
Good luck. Sorry about that, Craig. Man, 40 days, man. Let's get to some headlines real quick. You may have heard Zohran Mamdani has released a 2-minute Know Your Rights video on X following last weekend's ICE operation in Chinatown. In it, he explains the legal limits of ICE authority and encourages residents to assert their rights when approached by federal agents. The video has been viewed nearly 1 million times. I think it's a little over a million now. Mamdani states clearly that ICE agents cannot enter a home, school, or private workplace without a judicial warrant signed by a judge. Individuals may remain silent, refuse consent to searches, ask, "Am I free to go?" if detained, and film agents from a safe distance. He stresses that New Yorkers retain the right to protest peacefully. So he's not fighting anything on here. I know people are making an issue out of it, thinking that he's thwarting ICE. He's not. He's within the rights of individuals to do just that. So I don't know what the big deal is about. I really do. I think that people are making something about it that isn't there. But, you know, that's the whole point. A 64-year-old Florida man named Angelo Theodoso has been charged with DUI after a golf cart crash in the Nocatee neighborhood of St. Johns County that claimed the life of his wife. Now, why am I bringing this up? There are a lot of people who love the golf carts, just like my wife does. And these things can be dangerous. I did not realize how dangerous these things can be.
Let me tell you.
Oh, did you have one flip over on you?
My wedding
Ooh.
Was in North Carolina.
Okay.
We rented out the whole golf course.
Whoa.
We had our friends and family able to rip and race through with the golf carts all over the place and made it a big thing right before the wedding started. We had to go take pre-pictures right before, the wedding.
Yeah.
We taking our pictures and then, the couple goes off and takes
their
own pictures. We had to drive in a cart. I'm driving in a cart, not fast. And the photographer is riding behind me. And we hit a divot, and she went over in her dress.
Really?
She was literally going over
the front,
over the side.
Oh no!
The opening, and I grabbed her arm and pulled her back in.
Holy moly!
But some of her dress scraped on the ground.
Oh!
And got like these little
grass stains.
Not grass stains, but it was like wood chip thingies.
Holy moly!
All over her dress.
Oh!
So we spent like 20 minutes getting all of that off. But yeah, to your point,
yeah,
the go-karts,
they're dangerous.
they're super. If I didn't reach out and grab her arm, she would have went out
I can imagine,
and probably rolled down the hill.
Oh,
that would
man.
Have been a nightmare.
Do you know how fast do you think you were going in that thing?
Like 15 miles
an hour. Yeah, and you don't think that's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Well, anyway, Christina Theodoso, who is the woman who has died. The incident occurred last Sunday, just before 10 p.m. on Recollection Drive. Sorry. A resident area where golf carts are commonly used as street legal transportation. Christina fell from the moving golf cart and struck her head on the pavement and was airlifted to Jacksonville Trauma Center, where she later died from her injuries. According to the St. John's County Sheriff's Office, deputies responding to the scene observed clear signs of impairment on Angelo, including the odor of alcohol and bloodshot, watery eyes. He refused to submit a breath test at the scene and again at the jail. Authorities determined alcohol was a factor in the crash. Theodoso was arrested and booked on charges driving under influence and refusal to submit to a DEI test. He has since posted bond and is scheduled to appear in court in January. The case serves as a stark reminder to local officials and residents that golf carts, while popular in the community, are not toys and can be deadly when operated under the influence. So please be careful with them. I know people, they like them. I know my wife is a big fan. We went to Colonial Park and drove in one all weekend, and we drove on the street and everything, but I was certain not to be doing any fast turns or anything. I went fast going straight, but I did no turns on those things. Now time for the stupidest thing I read today.
Boy, look that stupid. You
could very well be the stupidest person on the face of the earth.
Somalians in the Midwest are accused of stealing over $1 billion. Some reports say that it may be over $8 billion. But the stupidest thing I read today is to point this out is now tantamount to being racist. But with everyone talking that nonsense, I want to throw a few things at you. First, Ilhan Omar, when asked this weekend on Face the Nation about all of the scandal of stealing billions of dollars, it may seem, what she thought of it and who is responsible. Folks, take a listen to Ilhan Omar's response to them, her people, stealing all of your money.
There are people who have been prosecuted and who have been sentenced. If there was a linkage in that the money that they had stolen going to terrorism, then that is a failure of the FBI and our court system in not figuring that out and basically charging them with these charges.
Yes, that's right. Ilhan Omar says, look, man, we're Somali. You know, stealing that money is what we do. It's the FBI. They didn't catch it. It's on them. They should have known better. Of course they should have known better. And folks, she's not wrong. They should have known better. See, if people were actually doing their job, even the folks over at Fox News, independent journalists, they could have gone and found out what these Somali folks really think about the United States. And by the way, I want to thank Boston Julie for letting me know. It was a private conversation I was having on Thanksgiving that I then talked about here on Friday. And that was the guy Fritz that was over at the house when we had Thanksgiving. And he said that people who come into the country make all the money here. They make that dirt cheap money here and then send it to their countries of origin, and then they leave, and then they become millionaires while they're there. That money, they can live like a king. Now, listen to this. Our good friend, Ami Horowitz, he went to one of these Midwestern towns, to a Somali community, and he asked them a few simple questions about being Muslim, Somali, Sharia law, and where they'd rather live. This is the mistake that Americans make about these immigrants. Listen closely.
This is the Cedar Riverside neighborhood of Minneapolis. Do you feel more comfortable living under American law, or do you feel more comfortable living under Sharia law?
Sharia law.
I'm a Muslim. I prefer Sharia law.
Sharia law, yes.
You prefer Sharia law over American law?
Of course, yeah. Of course, yeah.
And do you find most of your friends feel the same way?
Yeah, of course. If you're Muslim, yeah.
He can make his daughter marry somebody.
Yeah, he can. Yeah, he can. He has the authority, you know?
The authority to do that.
Yeah, to do that, yeah.
So here, how young do you think it's okay?
Yeah, 15.
Is it right to kill somebody who insults Muhammad?
Yeah, because she is just, she hates the religion, I understand. But she shouldn't pick up the prophet, you know?
So you understand why people would want to attack her?
Yeah.
If you had a choice, would you rather live here or would you rather live in the Muslim country?
I'd rather live in a Muslim country with my people.
Would you prefer to live in America or prefer to live in Somalia?
For me, I think it's Somalia.
I would rather live in Somalia.
I'm not Americanized. I just speak fluent and I'm, you know what I mean? I'm articulate and I can articulate what I'm trying to say, you know what I mean? That's about it. But other than that, I mean, as far as my culture and my preferences and everything, it's still Somali, you know what I mean?
Even though here you have all the freedom and stuff like that?
And even though I have all the freedom.
You think life might be better in Somalia than here?
Because now you have the freedom of it, of practicing your religion,
right,
while working and doing your other things.
Now you might be saying to yourself, and I know you're saying it, Reese, if all of those people would rather live under Sharia law and rather live in Somalia, what in the hell are they doing here? Well, as I told you, yeah, exactly, as I told you in my Thanksgiving conversation with, what's his name, Fritzy, what his name was, yeah. He said, people come to this country, take advantage of all the financial aid that they get, as the Somalis did in this case, Ilhan Omar's homies. That's what happened. They took all of your money and sent it back home. They're going to go back home and they're going to live like kings and queens. They don't give a damn about the United States. And you hear these bozos telling you, well, our country was built by the Somalis. Ha ha! I think the word you're looking for was robbed by the Somalis. That's all. And again, listen to Ilhan Omar. Whose fault is it that the money was taken? Clearly, the police, the FBI, the court systems, for not knowing who we are. It's their fault that you didn't notice.
There are people who have been prosecuted and who have been sentenced. If there was a linkage in that the money that they had stolen going to terrorism, then that is a failure of the FBI.
Yes, it's your fault, stupid. With Somali. You don't understand, like, who we are and what we do? That is a failure, she says, half laughing. Look at these stupid people. She's on CBS telling this one. And you hear, whatever her name is, Margaret Brennan. Uh-huh. Yes, I understand. Yes, because she's too scared to criticize that crook. She's scared to death of her. Hell, if she be criticized. That's all you have to know, folks. All you have to know. They came to this country. They stole every dime. They don't respect the United States. Why? Because they'd rather be back home. Sure they would. If they took all the money that they could get here and then go back home and live like kings, yeah, then they could subjugate all the bums when they get back there. That's the whole idea. They're just like any other worthless human being who would do all of that work, take all of that money, go back home, live in the lap of luxury, and then look at everybody else and go, look at you, you bums, get a job. That's who they are. That's who they are. And who's the piggy bank? The United States. And every bozo like them, from Himes to Murphy to Blumenthal, all of them sitting up there saying, you know, if you criticize them, you're a bigot. If you criticize them, you're a racist. Those people are hardworking people who come here and do our dishes. These people come here and they change the sheets on our beds. They change our bedpans. Well, who would clean your toilets, Donald Trump? Yes, that's who they are. So it turns out a bunch of elitists who never have to deal with these folks, turning these folks into wealthy elitists when they go back home and look down on everybody. Hey, what are you doing? Manuel, look at you. Go to America, man. Do what I did. Oh, come on. They're giving money away. And guess what? They won't criticize you because they'll call you a racist if they do. Yeah, absolutely. Those people are stupid. That's what it is. You know, I remember that thing that Donald sent me talking about how the People magazine article that suggested that Donald Trump said that if he was going to run for president, he'd run as a Republican because Republicans are stupid and watch Fox News all day. Yeah, truth is, that's exactly what these immigrants are saying to do. It's like, yeah, man, go to their country. They will make, literally, they will, the red carpet will be put out for you with those liberals. Oh, they'll protect you. Maybe they'll put videos out about you on how you can thwart ICE. Absolutely. Some of them will get arrested on your behalf. Yes, the American people, they're a special kind of stupid. They are. We'll take a break. We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio.
Hey, you know, I'm not one to brag, but it's our birthday, 100 years. I'm sure you've heard, and I'm sure the present that you have for us is incredible, right?
Mm-hmm. We're back. Reese on the Radio, WTIC News Talk 1080. I talked a little bit with Aaron Stewart about the voting rolls here in Connecticut. And the overwhelming amount of evidence that has been gathered that there has been some serious cheating and rigging that's going on. And next week, we're going to have a guest who's going to break all of that down for what can be revealed, because there is a federal investigation into all of that as it pertains to Connecticut. And there are people on the job. And a lot of people are sitting around going, you know, is anybody doing anything? Trust me, there's something being done. Evidence is being gathered. People are under investigation, and they know it. And they know it. They're well aware of it. They know who they are, and they're under investigation. You know, and let's just leave it at that. But when we come back, roughly in a 4 o'clock hour, I'm going to talk about this article from Judicial Watch, talking about some of the shenanigans that's going on, but primarily about how Connecticut is fighting giving over information about its voter rolls and how the federal government is going to make Connecticut pay for it. And these are things that the candidates should be running on. Because you've got to ask the question, what are you holding on to the voter rolls for? It's public information. But why are you stopping the federal government from finding out about it? And it needs to be said over and over again what's going on. And that is someone is cooking the books. And that's the reason why they don't want to share them. Because they know if the feds get a hold of them, they're going to find out a lot of dirty deeds. It won't be that small, slim pickings that they think is going on. You know, stuff they tried to say with Wanda Pataki. You know, it's like, it's infinitesimal. If it's a small little amount. Republicans are always screaming and hollering. Remember Lamont, right? Lamont didn't even want to address it. He treated it like it wasn't even happening in his own state. Donald Trump always complains about when he loses elections. That was the way he dealt with it. He's just very dismissive. Well, when it's benefiting you, of course, you don't have to care. But I want these folks on the record. Why won't you release them? Why won't you give the feds what they want? Because you know something is dirty. Something's rotten in Denmark. You know it. I know you know it. Dave is in Brantford. How are you, sir?
Okay. I'm up. Listen, that was a good interview.
Thank you.
It went well for you and Stuart. I thought it was a good initial introduction to your audience.
Perfect.
And and we'll go on from here. But it felt honest and forthright, unpolitician-like in her answers.
Yes,
and I know she is, but it didn't seem like she was aiming for the politically correct. I want to talk about in the Saturday New Haven Register.
Yes,
there was a story by Ken Dixon. And this is something of very interest to me. There's a difference between reporters that lie and cover up for the Democrats. And so it was on page A2 of the Saturday New Haven Register. The large cap introduction to the story says, court, these are Connecticut State Court.
Yeah.
Court workers get 2.5% raise, comma, step hike. This is incredibly misleading.
Step hike? What does that even mean? What is a step hike?
That's where we're going in. This is dissembling, which means to hide
right.
under a false appearance.
Right.
So it went to arbitration. It went to arbitration, and the arbiter awarded a 2.5% raise and the uniform step hike, which all the state workers get,
right.
which I happen to know is a 3% automatic raise just because you're still working there from last year to this year. It just notches you up 3%. So in actual fact, the raise is 5.5%.
That's exactly right.
And so two places. The first paragraph mentions a one-year, 2.5% wage increase and step raise. But again, it doesn't tell you what the number or the amount is.
Right.
Later on in the body of the story, it mentions when the state police had an early contract last May. And remember, the police are all in shortage in having workers.
Correct.
So we wanted to give them extra money to attract, people willing to work.
Yeah.
However, so he phrases it, the May votes in the House and the Senate set the baseline for more than the 30 bargaining units, that are coming up because their contract expired in at the end of the summer. And so they're working without a contract. But because of arbitration, they can't stop. Now, one of the people commenting on this was Kathy Osten, kind of a socialist state senator from up in Sprague. And she commented, this is an exact quote, it has been our pattern to have both the cost of living increase and a step increase. That was the quote.
Yeah.
So while Ken Dixon chose to call the 2.5% a raise, Kathy Osten chose to characterize it as a cost of living. It was just keeping up with inflation.
Right, right.
And here's at the end of the story, it mentions we're still negotiating with CBAC, the state employees bargaining, you know, unit, that the health and retirement benefits are
also get increased.
Negotiation.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is, and Red Jenke is particularly good at this, you know, he writes an opinion piece sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Under Lamont's watch, the state workers' pay increase has gone up a compounded 33% since Lamont arrived. And I'm here to say, under the generally accepted accounting principles, what's usually called gap accounting,
yes,
you need an all-in net for the annual payments for each worker for their health and their retirement as part of the negotiated contract amounts. And we don't need to see a tiny number. That's my complaint. That's why I called. It's been eating me up all weekend. 2.5% raise, it says, and then mentions a step hike. And I'm here to tell you, the actual cash payout is going to be 5.5% and probably more like a 10%.
I was going to say it's going to double that payment. Right. It's going to double that once you get the retirement payment in there.
We need an all-in, generally accepted accounting principle number for the raise the state workers are going to get. And I think maybe Stewart might be more forthcoming in talking about this. And the governor talks about these CBAC negotiators across the bargaining table, our partners. You know, that's like saying the defense lawyer says he's a partner with the prosecution. No, it's an adversarial negotiation. We need, you know, a comptroller and a treasurer who views it as an adversarial relationship. Those state workers want my money and they want your money.
Damn right.
They're not on my side.
That's right.
Thanks for letting me get that story over.
You got it. I appreciate you, sir. Dave is the best. Rob is in Middletown. What's going on, sir?
Hey, Reese. I'm hearing about Ilhan Omar. $7,500 was donated to her campaign by one of these guys that got caught stealing that.
That's exactly who it was, which, again, makes me laugh that this, whatever her name is, Margaret Brennan or whatever it is on CBS, is going to allow this woman to consider the reason why they missed all of this money is because the FBI dropped the ball, didn't investigate them. And mind you, this is a woman who would have said if the FBI or any other agency had been keeping an eye out on them, they would have said that those probes were racist in the first place if they had looked at them for stealing money. That's exactly what she would have said.
If I was a mindless newt, I might believe that.
Right. Indeed.
Just about the golf carts real quick, Reese. They are dangerous, man. My boy Big Large, we used to call him, he was 6'4", about 350.
Damn.
He rolled one over on the 8th hole at the Minor Street Golf Course over here, and there's about a 150-foot cliff. He rolled the thing over. His bag of weed was in the air. People are up on the green putting. The thing goes over. Dumps him out, his beers, his weed, his pipe. The thing stands on all four tires, missed going over the cliff by about 6 inches. He would have made the golf course about $15,000.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
The golf cart alone was $15,000?
Yeah, those things aren't cheap, man.
Yeah, I didn't know they were that expensive. My wife wants one badly. I am not buying a $15,000 golf cart. She wants.
Yeah, keep that money in the bank.
Bro. Yeah, you and me both. I totally hear it. Thank you, man. I appreciate you. You got it. Hey, let's go to Frankie. How are you, sir? What's going on?
Good. I'm not surprised they run to live in Somalia. Because I'll tell you why. No, I'll tell you why. I've been asked this question almost as much as whether I'm black or white. Frank, if everything was equal, you had the gold and the money in Sicily that you have now, would you come to America? Absolutely not.
Well, of course not. I mean, the cost of living there is dirt cheap. I don't know about all that. But nonetheless, have you ever seen like Connecticut when it's like the perfect temperature from a mountaintop? It's beautiful out here. But that being said, I would. But see, here's the thing. You know what separates me from Somalia? Like why I would never, ever want to live there versus Connecticut is because I know in Somalia, they've got an insect there that can kill me and my four children. That's what I know. I know that that place has an anaconda snake of some sort that if I'm not watching will eat my dog. That's the reason why I would never go there. I do not want to have to wrestle away a meal away from some bobcat that might be hanging out in the jungle.
But Well, I understand, but when you're born somewhere, it's hard for me to explain to you people. You don't want really want to leave that country. I know people that...
Why are they all leaving then? What, just come here to just steal from our piggy bank and then take it back home?
Well, we did. We went to work. We did a few other things on the side, but
Knock it off with that. Come on, Frank. Are you seriously going to sit up here and tell me because we went to war across the globe that for some odd reason those people get to come over here and steal from us? Come on, man. We liberated some of those countries.
Right, but the thing is, I it's hard to explain. I mean, when you're born, I mean, I talked to people from other countries, Greece, Germany. They told me the same thing. If they had wealth back then, they would never come here.
Look, I'm not going to lie. Paloma is beautiful. It does. I look at it, and I'm like, holy crap, I would love to live there. Of course, I would love to live there. Roseanne wants to live there. But when I ask her, bottom line, would you rather have Paloma be Paloma, or would you like rather have Paloma in the United States? And she goes, I'd rather have Paloma in the United States. She wants to go there and live there when she doesn't have to worry about anything. Like when she's on, like, we believe that Paloma is a place where you go when you're on your last legs, not your first.
Right, they don't care who you are either. She would love it there. And so Roland said he'd like to live there, too. I don't blame you.
I don't know anybody who wouldn't want to live there, but not now when I got to make money. I got to make nothing in Paloma.
Well, that's it. That's it. But it's hard to explain. When you're born somewhere, as bad as it is, you know, some of the people that were born, well, I don't know if you have any listeners that were born outside America now. It's just something about the place you're born. I totally get it.
It's like, yes, it's a creature comfort. You know the place. You know it like the back of your hand, and you never feel like a stranger. I totally get that.
Right.
Totally do. Right. Got to go to a break, boss man. I'm sorry, man. Good talking to you. Let's take a break. We'll be back. More news, more views, and your phone calls, 860-522-WTIC. It's Reese on the Radio.
It's Reese on the Radio on News Talk 1080 WTIC.
Oh, you know, Rush used to say having more fun than a human being should be allowed. I'm not going to lie. He knew exactly what he was talking about. Reese on the Radio on WTIC News Talk 1080. Again, we're going to get into Connecticut's stance on the federal demands of the voter rolls. We'll talk about that at great length. Plus, if you're in the chat room, you can go to X. By the way, I wanted to make sure I got this out, and I'll get to the last phone call of this hour. I used to own Reese on the Radio, that handle on X or Twitter for that matter, and I never used it because I couldn't get into it. And then X came up with this thing that said, hey, do you want an old handle that no one uses anymore? And I was like, yeah, well, I want my old handle, Reese on the Radio, because I had to use Reese on Radio because I couldn't get on the one that was Reese on the Radio. Nobody would ever have that, and they didn't. The only person who had it was me. And so on Friday, I finally got it. So if you ever want to follow me on X, if you're a big, you know, X person or a Twitter person, just go look for at Reese on the Radio. There I am, right there. And Facebook is giving me hell because of some comment that I made a couple of years ago when I suggested that person should punch themselves in the face. I don't know. It's a long story. I don't want to get into it. But again, I'm on X. At Reese on the Radio. Let's take Jack in Bantam. Hello, Jack.
Reese, good afternoon. First time, long time.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You do a great job.
Thank you.
Listen, I just want to put this golf cart fiasco into perspective.
Okay.
I'm 70 years old.
Okay.
I've been playing golf for probably 50 years.
Wow.
I have never saw... And I've played many courses in New England of an accident with golf carts.
You've never seen one?
Negative.
Wow.
Now, with that being said, I'm not saying that some golfer who may have had been imbibing on the round may have had a problem and had a little incident.
I've had one.
No problem with golf carts. Okay, golfers know how to drive them.
Right.
Probably a lot of non-golfers are not familiar with them.
Right.
And they buy one, and they should learn how to operate them someone who is familiar with them.
That's true. Jack, do you think the problem is speed? Because I will tell you, listen, this is absolutely true. I tipped one over. I tipped only once. I tipped one
how did
over.
You do it? How did you tip one?
Okay, I will tell you exactly what I was doing because, again, I didn't know the power, the speed, or the angle. Exactly. No, I didn't. And I was doing fine the whole time. And then I came up on a hill and I thought that I was going to have to hit the gas really hard, accelerate, to go up the hill because I thought it was lagging a little. So I hit the gas and I get up the hill, but I don't recognize that I got to hit the brake quick because the darn thing is going to, the hill goes straight down. And so I hit the top of the hill. I'm already got a great rate of speed. I come down and I try to stop it. And while I'm trying to stop it, I'm losing control of the weight or the center of gravity. And sure enough, I'm on my left shoulder.
That's very unfortunate. How many hours have you had? Did you have?
Oh, at the time? Three. Yeah. At the time, I don't think I was on the darn thing for that long.
one further question.
Yes.
Was it battery operated or gasoline operated?
Battery operated.
Okay, well, they're pretty quiet and smooth. They're nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but I didn't know what I was doing. I was a complete novice, without a doubt.
Well, I just want to let people know, Reese, down in Florida at those gated communities, there's a lot of people who have those.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, Jack. I got to go to a break. Mark Christopher, he's in the BPS Traffic Center. He's there. Hey, Mark, how are you?